Hare Krishna, it's a pleasure to be here with all the devotees, their lordships, and by your mercy I can say something in your service today about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes with Ishwara Puri. So I just chose one verse to read today from the where Srila Prabhupada describes a little bit about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Madhavendra Puri. This is the we'll read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 9th chapter, text number 11. Sri Ishwara Puri Rupe Angura Pushtahela Apane Chaitanya Mali Skanda Upa Jila. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishwara Puri. And then the gardener himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. Please repeat. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishwara Puri. And then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Sri Ishwara Puri was a resident of Kumarahatta, where there is now a railway station known as Kamarhatta. Nearby, there is another station named Halishahara, which belongs to the Eastern Railway. This railway runs from the eastern section of Calcutta. Ishwara Puri appeared in a Brahmin family and was the most beloved disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. In the last portion of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya 8:28-31, it is stated, I won't read all the verses. At the last stage of his life, Sri Madhavendra Puri became an invalid and was completely unable to move. And Ishwara Puri so completely engaged himself in his service that he personally cleaned his stool and urine, always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reminding Sri Madhavendra Puri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the last stage of his life. Ishwara Puri gave the best service among his disciples. Thus Madhavendra Puri, being very pleased with him, blessed him, saying, "My dear boy, I can only pray to Krishna that he will be pleased with you." Thus Ishwara Puri, by the grace of his spiritual master, Sri Madhavendra Puri, became a great devotee in the ocean of love of Godhead. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states in his Guruvastakam prayer, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is blessed by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. It is by the mercy of the spiritual master that one becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. A Vaishnav is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if he appears to be an invalid, this gives a chance to his disciples to serve him. Ishwara Puri pleased his spiritual master by service, and by the blessings of his spiritual master, he became such a great personality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master. Srila Ishwara Puri was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before initiating Lord Chaitanya, he went to Navadvip and lived for a few months in the house of Gopinath Acharya. At that time, Lord Chaitanya became acquainted with him. And it is understood that he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting his book, Krishna Lilamrita. This is explained in the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Kanda, chapter 11. To teach others by example how to be a faithful disciple of one's spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the Supreme Personality of Godhead, visited the birthplace of Ishwarapuri at Kumarahatta and collected some earth from his birth site. This he kept very carefully, and he used to eat a small portion of it daily. This is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat Adikanda, chapter 16. It has now become customary for devotees, following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to go there and collect some earth from that place. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakata Mahyam Darati Shva Padantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamaniti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunivadi Bastyata Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Garadha Shivashadi Gaura Bhakti Vinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So here Srila Prabhupada in this purport has given an introduction to the interchange, the interaction between Ishwarapuri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very, we can note from Srila Prabhupada's purport that he emphasizes the most important aspect of Ishwarapuri's relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he acted as his spiritual master. Of course, the spiritual master is always a servant of the disciple in the ultimate sense. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if a spiritual master thinks that he's a spiritual master, then he's simply a cow. Instead of guru, he's guru. No, simply a cow. Cow mentality, or ass-like mentality. But in this case, the spiritual master was the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was his disciple. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need a guru. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the guru of all of us. And he teaches us that we must have a guru. And the relationship which Srila Prabhupada outlines in this purport between Sri Madhavendra Puri and Sri Ishwarapuri is the perfect relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, which Srila Prabhupada exemplifies in the verse from the Guru Vastakam that he quoted, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado Yasya Prasadan Nakati Kutopi, that the only way that one can make advancement in spiritual life is to satisfy the spiritual master. And Ishwarapuri, among the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, Ishwarapuri was not necessarily, although he was a scholar and he was very learned, he was not necessarily the most learned. There were others who were even more learned. But there were two disciples who were made an example of by Sri Madhavendra Puri. One was Ishwarapuri and the other was Ramachandra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, he was an invalid. He couldn't even go to the bathroom. He couldn't go properly. So Ishwarapuri was so humble that he would simply come and clean up. After his spiritual master, he would bathe him, he would clean up. Even some of the other disciples didn't do that, although they were very faithful. But so he became the example of a perfect disciple that is willing to do anything and everything for the pleasure of the spiritual master. And on the other hand, Ramachandra Puri, when his spiritual master was reciting one verse, speaking about Mathuranath, that I dadrata Mathuranath aho. Oh, master of Mathura, Sri Krishna, you are the savior of Dima Dayadra, of the most fallen and the poorest of all. and you have come, but yet somehow or another, you have left me. I can't find you. I have not attained Mathura, otherwise I have not become a resident of Vrindavan. This he was crying out in humility. So Ramachandrapuri said, why are you crying? No, you're about to leave your body. You should be meditating on the Brahman. No, a person who is fixed in Krishna consciousness doesn't cry, especially at the time of death. So Madhavendrapuri said, get out of my sight. I don't even want to see you. Seeing you will certainly take away any possibility I have of attaining love for Krishna. No. And so he was rejected. So these two examples. No. One who tries to think, as Srila Prabhupada said in one letter to a devotee, don't try to be a better Paramahansa than your Guru Maharaj. No. Even if someone becomes very learned and someone becomes very accomplished in devotional service and even surpasses the service of their spiritual master, just like Srila Prabhupada surpassed so many persons in what he achieved in the parampara. But Srila Prabhupada didn't think, yes, now I'm the topmost. No. Just see, I've done more than so many others. No. He considered himself always a humble servant of the spiritual master. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who surpasses everyone? Yet he became a very humble servant of his spiritual master. So that relationship we'll speak about at the end, how that relationship manifested in very important instructions for us. So how did they meet? It's briefly mentioned here in the purport that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip, and of course, as we know, he was Nimai Pandit. He was the greatest scholar, and he had many, many students, and he was always speaking about logic. Now, why did he do this? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to give love of God, Krishna prema pradayate, to give Krishna prema to everyone, why is he acting like a great scholar? And he would never speak about Krishna. He might mention Krishna in grammar, but he did not glorify Krishna, nor did he manifest Krishna bhakti, other than a ritualistic standard type of bhakti that he performed at his home, because they had the deity of Adoksaja Krishna in the home of Jagannath Misra and Shachi Mata. Of course, Jagannath Misra was not present at this time. So he would worship the deity, but actually he wouldn't, as opposed to all of the devotees who were surrounding him, headed by Advaitacharya, who would all meet in the house of Advaitacharya and discuss Krishna consciousness. Actually, to the point where Advaitacharya, when they would have kirtans, they would either have in the house of Advaitacharya or in the house of Shivas. And Shivas and his three brothers, they would always chant all night long, chant the glories of Krishna. They even chanted more than they would usually chant, than a devotee would normally chant, because they were surrounded by materialistic persons in Navadvip. But Mahaprabhu, at this point in time, demonstrated himself as a great scholar. Such a great scholar that the only person who could even understand his scholarship, his grammar, was Gangadas Pandit, his teacher. No one else could ever understand him. He even empowered one of his devotees, Mukunda, to be a great scholar. But then he would challenge Mukunda. All the time he would challenge him. He would take great pleasure in defeating him. He defeated everyone so much that devotees would avoid him. And they would think, what can we do? He's so beautiful, we can't resist him. But he never talks about Krishna. So we can't really associate with him. So everyone would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a different way. The scholars saw him as Brihaspati. Materialistic persons saw him as Cupid. The atheistic person saw him as Yamaraj. And the devotees saw him as a recipient for devotional service. They said, he's so beautiful, he's so wonderful. He should be a great devotee of Krishna. So they would pray for him, and he would say, oh, I'm so fortunate, you're praying for me. So one day, Mukunda was coming, and he saw Nimai, and he turned around and went away. So Nimai said to his servant, Govinda, He said, he is trying to avoid me because he thinks I'm not speaking about devotional service. But he does not understand that one day I will speak about devotional service and I will perform so much bhakti that I will defeat everyone. No. Of course, Govinda, he was really revealing who he really was and what his mission was, but Govinda couldn't understand. And so this is the situation in Navadvip. It got so bad that Advaitacharya said, I have already called the Lord, and if he doesn't manifest soon, I will take my Sudarshan Chakra and I will cut off the heads of all these atheists because they're insulting the devotees. The one thing the Lord can't stand or a devotee can't stand is if a devotee of the Lord is insulted. So they were being insulted left and right all the time. So this got worse and worse and worse. And so one day, Ishwarapuri came to Navadvip. But he was disguised. And he was disguised as a Mayavadi sannyas, as an Ekadanda sannyas. Just like Pundarik Vidyanidhi and other great devotees of the Lord, they did not reveal their elevated level of devotional service to people in general because they felt like, why should I demonstrate anything before these fools and rascals? Because a devotee does not consider himself to be a great devotee. A devotee simply wants to peacefully serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now one may think, well, we're preachers. We're supposed to go out and preach to these people. But actually they had already tried that and they couldn't. They were simply challenged. And so they would just maintain their own lives and they would they wouldn't reveal that they were actually great devotees. So he came to Navadvip and he searched out the house of Advaitacharya because he knew that Advaitacharya was his godbrother. He was a disciple of Sri Madhavendra Puri. And this shows that a Vaishnava actually always looks for the association of great Vaishnavas and those who are servants of his spiritual master. Just like we're very happy to see those who are servants of Srila Prabhupada. We're happy to see any Vaishnava. But especially we're happy to see those who are servants of Srila Prabhupada because they will have the same mood of devotional service as we do. So he went to the Advaitacharya's house. Every night, every evening, in Advaitacharya's house, Mukunda would come and he would sing beautiful songs about Krishna. So Mukunda was there and Ishwarapuri came in. And immediately, Advaitacharya could recognize this is a very special personality. He didn't know him. He hadn't met him up to that point. But he saw him and he thought, this is a very special personality. No. And he came in. And also Mukunda, he could just look at him and he could understand this is actually a great devotee. But for some reason he's disguised as an Ekadanda sannyas. So Mukunda, he started to sing one very beautiful song about Krishna. And immediately Ishwarapuri started shivering in ecstasy. Transcendental ecstasies covered his body. He fell to the ground. He started crying and shouting out, Krishna, Krishna. And Advaitacharya said, I know that I can tell you are a Vaishnava. Give up your disguise. Who are you? So he said, I am the servant of Madhavendra Puri, Ishwarapuri. And everybody, because his glories were already known as being the greatest servant of Madhavendra Puri. So immediately everyone glorified him and they began to chant. Mukunda chanted more and more verses about Krishna and Ishwarapuri was feeling more and more and more ecstasy at every moment. Actually, when Advaitacharya took him, and he said, now my house has become very blessed. Because just as it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that bhavad-vidha bhagavatas, tirtha-bhuta svayam vibhu tirti-kurvanti-tirtani, svantasthena-gadabhita, that when a great devotee of the Lord appears, wherever that devotee goes, or whatever place that devotee settles in or lives in, that place in itself becomes a place of pilgrimage. Teaching us that the real places of pilgrimage, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in his Kalyana Kalpataru, one song where he says that, Oh, my devotee, my dear brother, you've gone to so many places, Dwarka, Mathura, here and there, all these holy places, and you are seeking out to become purified and you want to have some spiritual understanding, but don't you realize that the only place where there's actually, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is glorified is where we find his devotee. That is the place of pilgrimage that we should go to. So everyone began to glorify Ishwarapuri. And he would come. So he decided to stay for a few months in Navadvip. And he stayed in the house of Gopinath Acharya. And so one day while he was walking through the streets of Navadvip, he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when they saw each other, immediately he was attracted to the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he, at that point, by yoga maya, he didn't realize that this is the Supreme Personality of God. And immediately Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wanted to perform his lila of being a devotee, he could see that Ishwarapuri was his instrument. And so he offered him obeisances. And they embraced. And as they embraced, they felt great happiness. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he asked about his identity. And he said, so please come to my house for lunch. And so he invited Ishwarapuri, and he came to his house. And Ishwarapuri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also showing by this that when one meets a great personality, that one should immediately serve them. And so he served him very nicely. Shachi Mata cooked very wonderful things. And they sat down and they began to discuss Krishna. And so after discussing for some time, they again embraced one another and they bathed one another in tears of love of Godhead. And from that day on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to meet with Ishwarapuri every day. And so Ishwarapuri was already, he had written one book, Sri Krishna Lilamrita. And he was teaching Gadadhar Pandit, because Gadadhar was a very, very great devotee. He was known as a great, great devotee, and he was a celibate brahmachari from birth. So he was teaching him. So he said, I have this book, and Nimai Pandit, you are a great scholar. So can you please find the faults in my book and correct them. I want this book to be perfect. And so he came and he started reading the Sri Krishna Lilamrita to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu took the book and he said, faults? Any book that is written by a devotee, there can be no faults. Whatever a devotee does, whatever a devotee says, that is the desire of Krishna. Just like in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada has placed the verse from the first canto. Janataga viplavo, yasmit pati shlokam abhadivatyapi, namanyanantasya yasho kitaniyat, Shinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadabaha. That even if something is imperfectly composed, if it is actually glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it will be a revolution that will cleanse the hearts of anyone who is thoroughly honest and who is interested in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, how can I correct it? Anyone who tries to correct such a book is simply a fault finder, an offender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. That your book is so perfect. But anyway, every day he would hear, and after some time, he said, well, actually, after studying your book, I did find that you have used one form Atmanapadi. And so I think this form should be Paramaipadi. These are two grammatical declensions of verbs. So you either follow one system or the other. So Ishwarapuri, he sat down and he analyzed it, and he said, actually, I have analyzed your criticism, and I've decided that what I did was correct. No. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately accepted the defeat of his devotee, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could find the faults in the Digvijay Pandit, in his perfect grammatical compositions, which were made by the Goddess of Fortune herself. But he accepted this chastisement, showing us that two things. First of all, that a devotee always accepts the version of a superior Vaishnava. Otherwise, this superior Vaishnava was going to become his spiritual master. So he accepted the chastisement. And secondly, that the devotee of the Lord always wants his devotee to be victorious. So by allowing Ishwarapuri to be victorious, he's showing that actually the Lord is more happy to see his devotee become glorified than himself being glorified. So they went on associating for some time, and then Ishwarapuri, being a sannyasi and being a great devotee of the Lord, he said, now I must move on. So he left. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he continued his pastimes in Navadvip. And then after some time passed by, and then the assaults of the atheistic persons, their insults and everything to the Vaishnavas became more and more acute. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, now is the time I must manifest my pastime, my Sankirtan pastime. So on the pretext of going to Gaya, he took permission from his mother and he took some of his students and began to go to Gaya. And on the way, he caught a fever. Of course, this was a lila. This is not that he has to get sick. And his disciples, his students, they tried so many things to cure him. Nothing worked. And he said, no, actually, the only thing that will save me is the water that has washed the feet of the Brahmins. And not any Brahmin, but Vaishnava Brahmins. And so they went and they got the water that had washed the feet of one Vaishnava Brahmin, and they brought it back. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu drank it, and he was immediately cured. Otherwise showing us that it is the mercy of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that actually purify us. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued till he got to the Pumpuna River, which is right on the border of Gaya. And he took his bath there, offered his oblations. And then he went on to enter into Gaya, to the Brahmakund, Brahmatirtha. And there he took bath again, offered oblations to the forefathers. And then he arrived at the Chakravedi, at the lotus feet of Gadadhar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when he arrived there, he felt great ecstasy. And then the Brahmins who were sitting there, they began to glorify the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those lotus feet were actually placed there to defeat the atheists. And later on, the Buddhists tried to take over that place, and the lotus feet of the Lord defeated them. So the Brahmins were chanting the glories of the lotus feet. The lotus feet of the Lord have purified the head of Bali Maharaj. From the lotus feet of the Lord comes Ganga Devi. The lotus feet of the Lord are the worshipable objects of Lakshmi Devi. And her whole consciousness is absorbed in these lotus feet. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing this, he began to cry incessantly. And the Brahmins were surprised to see like streams of tears coming out of his eyes, like rivers, like the Ganga herself, just shooting out of his eyes. And they couldn't believe it. And in that moment, at that particular moment, Ishwarapuri arrived. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him and he immediately offered obeisances. And again, they embraced and again bathe each other in tears of love of Godhead. So Vishwarupuri said, I'm very happy to see you here again. So maybe we will meet here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that moment decided that Ishwarapuri should be his spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu waited a long time to be initiated. He became a great scholar. He became a great Brahmin. Now why did he do this? Because he wanted to show that even if one is the greatest scholar, the greatest Brahmin, the most accomplished Vedantist or whatever, that all of this becomes subservient to the service of the spiritual master. All of this is subservient and not very important compared to the receiving the mercy of the pure Vaishnava. And so Mahaprabhu, he went to all different places, all these different places where technically you're supposed to go to perform your the Shraddha ceremony. And then he came back to one little residence where he was staying, and he began to cook. And Ishwarapuri was seeking him out, and he found where he was, and he came to that place. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just finished cooking, and Ishwarapuri walked in, and he said, oh, you are such a great personality, let me offer you my lunch. I just cooked it. And he said, no, what will you eat? Let us divide it in two portions. And you know, you can have half, I'll have half. And Mahaprabhu said, no, I'll cook later. You please take. And so he served him very nicely, showing again how one should be always disinterested in one's own situation, that one should simply be interested in serving the spiritual master, even at one's own discomfort. Of course, while he was serving Ishwarapuri, the goddess of fortune, invisibly, she appeared and cooked another portion for Mahaprabhu, so he was able to take right afterwards. But he served him very nicely, and then after serving him, he bowed down and offered obeisances. And he said, my dear Puripad, I have come here to Gaya to beg you to please give me initiation. Will you please accept me as your disciple? And Ishwarapuri said that actually my whole life is given to you. My whole life is an offering to you. Therefore, to give you initiation is very insignificant. He said, actually, from the first time I met you, when I left, from the time I left Navadvip, I could only think of your lotus feet. I could only think of your beautiful transcendental form. Now I realize that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the object whom I am always searching for. Last night I had an extraordinary dream about you. And now you have come and asked me this. So if you ask me to do this, because I am your servant, I must do it. So he accepted him. And then at that time, he gave him the 10-syllable mantra. That was his mantra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in ecstasy. And he, together with Ishwarapuri, they danced and chanted. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so overwhelmed with love of God that he told his students, you go back to Navadvip. Now I have no more connection to home. I have no more connection to family. I have no more connection to friends. I only want to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said, and so the early next morning, undetected by anyone, he began his journey to Vrindavan, searching out Krishna. But then he heard voices from the sky, some demigods, saying, my dear Lord, your time is not ripe. The time is not ripe for going to Vrindavan. First you have to go back to Navadvip and start the Sankirtan movement, spread this movement of Sankirtan. Please go back. Later on you will be able to go and find Krishna. So he heard that and he went back and took his students, and full of love of Godhead, he went back to Navadvip. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back, performed his Sankirtan pastimes. And how do we... But the influence of Ishwarapuri was always there. So then after he finished his Sankirtan pastimes in Navadvip, he finally decided that the only way he can actually spread love of Godhead to everyone was to take sannyas. So he took sannyas. And then, in the course of taking sannyas and on his way to Vrindavan, he ended up stopping in Varanasi. So when he stopped in Varanasi, he met the Mayavadis. And he was not interested in meeting these Mayavadis. But in any case, he had to, there were one Mahastrian Brahmin especially, he wanted Mahaprabhu to meet with them because they were insulting the devotees and they were insulting Mahaprabhu. So he wanted Mahaprabhu to defeat them. And finally, on the request of this Brahmin, he went to meet with Prakashananda Saraswati. So he came and he sat down in a humble way. And when he was sitting there, in the place where everybody washed their feet, all of a sudden his effulgence began to shone. And everyone, when they saw that, they were amazed. Narayan, Narayan. They said, oh, he made it. He did what we all want to accomplish. He's become Narayan. No, they actually thought he'd become Narayan. No, that he did it. No. And so then they sat him down. Prakashananda personally brought him by the hand and said, you are from an exalted Brahmin family. You are a sannyasi. Why do you cry with these sentimentalists in the street? So this is where Ishwara Putipad's influence came. I just wanted to read those few verses that, just read it directly. The verses that followed after this, why do you do this? Why do you follow these sentimental chanters and dancers? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kahi shuna shi padihara karana guru mori mukadeki korila shasan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied to Prakashananda Saraswati, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. Murkatumi tomhara nakila vedantadikar Krishna mantra japasada e mantra sar. You are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy, and therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns. So in this instruction, he says, first of all, that murkatumi, you are a fool. Just like Krishna says to Arjuna, no, that ashochasanvachochas tvam pagavadham srivasya se gatasum agatasum cha nanushachandi panditaha. That Arjuna, you are a fool. You're thinking yourself very learned and speaking in a very learned way, but actually you are a fool. So this is the first qualification. Trinadapi sunichena. Before the spiritual master, we must be very humble, take a very humble attitude. Otherwise, we will not be able to learn properly. If we're thinking that I'm doing some favor for the spiritual master, that I'm of some importance, other than thinking myself a fool who must simply obey, then the whole essence of initiation will be lost. No. And then he says, you must always chant the holy name, Krishna mantra japa sada, kirtaniya sada hari, exactly as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs in his Shikshastikam, that a mantra sar, this mantra is the essence of all mantras. Otherwise, vedaischa sarvai raham eva vedyo. The purpose of Vedas, or the purpose of Vedanta, is to understand Krishna. And the understanding of Krishna in this age, binatvam namanamino, there is no difference between Krishna and the holy name. Therefore, today we will also be performing one Harinam Diksha on behalf of His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj. So this is the essence. Once we receive this Maha Mantra, if we receive it properly, in a humble state of mind, more tolerant than a tree, respecting everyone and not thinking of any benefit or respect for myself, then we can actually chant in such a way that all of Vedanta will be understood. Aho, aho swapacho, aho bata swapacho, to ghariyan. Yajjibhagre vartate nama tubhyam. One who actually has the holy name dancing on one's tongue, then that person has studied all the Vedas, has bathed in all the holy places, has accomplished everything just by the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So when one can actually chant properly, this is the result. So then, this is Ishwara Puri instructing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is repeating what he said to him. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can attain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. In the age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures. After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising me to always keep it within my throat. Anyone know what that verse is? Harinama, 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 eva kevalam kalo, nashteva, 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 gati ranyata. For spiritual progress in the age of Kali, there is no alternative, there is no alternative, there is no alternative to the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Since I received this order from my spiritual master, I always chant the holy name. But I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I had become bewildered. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, cry, dance, and sing just like a madman. Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that the chanting of the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name, and I immediately submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Sri Ishwara Puri. My dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of Godhead, the fifth and the highest goal, these appear as insignificant as a straw in the street. For the devotee who has actually developed bhava, the pleasure derived from dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, appear like a drop in the presence of the sea. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done this. It is a characteristic of love of Godhead that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants, and sometimes runs here and there just like a madman. Perspiration, trembling, standing on end of one's bodily hairs, tears, faltering voice, fading complexion, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility. These are the various natural symptoms of ecstasy of love of Godhead, which cause a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Maha Mantra. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sankirtan in the association of devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Harina, for by this process you will be able to deliver all souls. Saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. Therefore, he recited this verse again and again. And here's the verse and the conclusion. Evam brata swapriya nama kirtya jananuraga juta tritta uchchai hasattito rodhi rauchi gayat yanmudaranditati loka bahya. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, and becomes agitated and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. So this is the result of chanting the Maha Mantra. We want to chant, dance, laugh like madmen, not caring for outsiders. Of course, this doesn't mean we're a preaching movement. So we do that within the Association of Vaishnavas, and when we're out preaching, we try to give an example, not being so mad. No. And of course, that madness should be a result of love of Godhead. So this is the purpose, that they were performing the initiation ceremony. This is the actual purpose. The purpose of this ceremony is to give the Maha Mantra, or in the case of the second initiation, by Gayatri Mantra, just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received the 10-syllable mantra, we receive the Gayatri Mantra given in our line of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. This strengthens the chanting the holy name. The Gayatri Mantra takes us to the point of liberation, and the Maha Mantra continues from then on. So the Maha Mantra is the most important, and the Gayatri Mantra reinforces our chanting of the holy name by helping us remember Krishna, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, we remember Krishna 3 times a day. Of course, we should remember Krishna 24 hours, but meaning we specifically meditate in a very intense way 3 times a day at the sandhyas to intensify our love for Krishna. So when a person takes initiation, as Rupa Goswami said, there are certain things. Actually, we want 4 things to happen. Or we do 4 things. And these 4 things are Guru Padashayas Tasmat. First of all, we take shelter of the spiritual master. That's why in ISKCON, we have a process of waiting minimum 1 year. Sometimes it's better to wait more time so we can be sure that we really understand what this initiation means. No. And we take shelter. In that time, we take shelter. Of course, we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. And we perform devotional service under that shelter. We prepare ourselves. Then, Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam. Then we take initiation and receive pertinent instructions about devotional service from the spiritual master. And then, Vishrambena Guru Seva. Then, taking to our heart those instructions from the spiritual master, we perform devotional service. And how do we perform devotional service? Sadavartmanuvartanam. We do it following in the footsteps of the great acharyas. Otherwise, the instructions of our spiritual master place us in the parampara, and we very, very faithfully serve in that parampara. So this is the essence of initiation, whether it be first or second initiation. These are the 4 things that we want to accomplish by initiation. So I just want to conclude by one statement. This is something that Srila Prabhupada said in various initiations. One verse, he doesn't attribute it to any scripture. I think it was just by one Vaishnava poet, that Janame Janame Sabhe Pita Matta Pai Guru Krishna Mile Nahi Hari Bhaje. That we have so many lifetimes, life after life after life, we pass. And in every one of those lifetimes, we have a mother and a father. I think this is a Bengali saying, so in Bengal especially, one is very dedicated to the mother. Of course, in India in general, and even many cultures, everybody likes their mother, generally speaking. Nowadays it's becoming, you know, by the influence of Kali Yuga, even the mother is not so sacred anymore. But generally speaking, everyone appreciates their mother. But in every birth, even as a human being or even dogs or cows or whatever, they all appreciate their mother. No. So this is nothing so special. But at this opportunity, Guru Krishna Mile, we have the opportunity to be united with Guru and Krishna. This is what initiation means. Therefore, this is the opportunity, Hari Bhajaye, to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we should take it very, very seriously, and perform our vows, and chant the holy name, minimum 16 rounds every day, follow the four regulative principles, and dedicate ourselves to devotional service. So I'll stop here. Any questions?